Remember, every woman alive wants Chanel number 5. Now, here's Jonathan Winters for Chrysler.
Sir, I notice you're wiping your brow with a $1,000 bill.
Right, boy, I'm B.B. Bindlestiff, and I'm fantastically rich.
As a big businessman, do you have any outstanding tips for me?
I certainly do. To get the most out of your car, get Chrysler Corporation's Certified Car Care Program, available at Chrysler, Plymouth, and Dodge dealers. It's like a health plan for your car, and you can't beat their Mopar and Chrysler parts. Say, why aren't you writing this down?
Oh, I'll never forget it, sir.
You better not, or I'll buy your hometown and hide it in my glove compartment. Yes.
Barry Nelson again. And this is Monitor's birthday salute to Frank Sinatra, Part 3. In the first two parts, we trace Frank's early rise to fame in the war years, his subsequent decline from popular favor, and the beginning of the second and continuing successful stage of his career. In the early 50s, The Voice, as he was nicknamed then, and still is, as a matter of fact, added new dimensions to his singing, the compelling swinging beat that complemented his romantic style.
When skies are cloudy and gray, they're only gray for a day. So wrap your troubles in dreams and dream your troubles away. Until that sunshine peeps through, there's only one thing to do. Just wrap your troubles in dreams and dream all your troubles away. Your castles may tumble, that's fate after all. Life's really funny that way. No use to grumble, smile as they fall. Weren't you king for a day? Just remember that sunshine always follows the rain. So wrap your troubles in dreams and dream your troubles away. It's fate after all. Life's really funny that way. But no need to grumble, smile as they fall. Weren't you king for a day? Just remember that sunshine always follows the rain. So wrap your troubles in dreams and dream, dream your troubles away.
There were very few troubles for Frank Sinatra during this stage of his life. He made hit records, hit movies, had his own radio programs, and was a guest on other stars' programs where the comedy was often concerned with his noted thinness. On the Martin and Lewis Show, for example.
Jerry, I'd like to introduce myself.
Let's see into it, kid. You better lie down.
Now listen, apehead. I'm Frank Sinatra.
You mean you're Frank Sinatra, the singer on radio and television and picture star?
That's right.
Hey, is it true that you stand in for carrots when they photograph salads?
Well,
I mean, when mosquitoes bite you, do they get anything more than practice?
Well, gosh, I don't...
Hey, now, tell us, Joe, can you touch your hands over your head without being threaded?
Hey, now, just a minute. How long do you think I have to stand here for these insults?
Just as long as we get laughs, Frank.
And as long as they'd get laughs, Frank was willing to poke fun at himself, as in this exchange on the Bob Hope Show.
Frank, I hear you just flew up from New Orleans where you did that Texas City Relief show. How'd you travel? By Constellation?
Oh, no, the usual way. Carrier pigeon.
Well, doesn't it get uncomfortable being strapped to a pigeon's leg?
Uh-huh.
What else have you been doing, Frank?
Well, I had a tough break the other night, Bob. I was a guest in the Red Skelton Show, and you know the commercial that goes...
Yeah, what about it?
Well, the sound man worked it backwards by mistake. And sucked me right back into the microphone.
And then with Ed Gardner at Duffy's Tavern.
Well, Frank, you look like you put on a little weight since I seen you 5 years ago.
Yeah, that's right. I only weighed 130 pounds then.
Yeah. What do you weigh now?
131.
Gained a whole pound, huh?
Yeah, I guess I'm getting a little flabby, huh?
Blabby, Frankie, you look like an advance man for a famine.
Through the early years, Frank Sinatra has proved himself adept at comedy acting both in the broadcasting medium and in films. But in 1953, he took a huge step forward in his march to fame with his Academy Award-winning performance as the soldier Maggio in From Here to Eternity. Movie makers, critics, and the public termed this performance the surprise of the year, but it was no flash in the pan, as Frank proved in subsequent serious roles. He was asked whether he now considered himself more an actor than a singer.
That's a tough question for me because I'm not really a bona fide actor. I've never studied. But I find that acting isn't a difficult thing to do. If I find that the one important facet is listening to the other performer. I feel deeply about the fact that if you listen to the other performer, if you don't know the words of the sequence, let me start that way. If you're not familiar with the words in a particular sequence, but you know the general idea of the script, if you listen to the other performer, you'll come up with a proper answer. They may not be in the same words. And I think that is the sum and substance of acting. As far as I'm concerned, there are other schools of thought. There are people who have to be told what attitude should they take, from whence they got the first idea, and how to answer the line to the other actor. What caused the writer to write this kind of dialogue? I feel that that's all fine for some people who like those forms of method acting. I believe that if acting is quite simple, it's just trying to put yourself in the role of a particular character, and then just listening and watching. And I think in the end, it's a simple form of performing, and I think it's honest and earnest. And believable.
Frank most certainly made believable such characters as Maggio, the tough, temperamental soldier in From Here to Eternity, but he had no difficulty in switching back to lighter roles, such as the one he portrayed in the movie from which this Academy Award-winning song came.
Just what makes that little old ant think he'll move that rubber tree plant? Anyone knows an ant can't move a rubber tree plant,
but he's got high hopes. He's got high hopes. He's got high apple pie in the sky
hopes. So anytime you're getting low, instead of letting go, just remember that ant. Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant.
Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant.
Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant. Punch a hole in a dam. No one could make that ram scram. He kept butting that dam,
cause he had high hopes. He had high hopes. He had high apple pie in the sky hopes.
So anytime you're feeling bad, instead of feeling sad, just remember that ram. Oops, there goes a billion kilowatt damn.
Oops, there goes a billion kilowatt damn.
Oops, there goes a billion kilowatt damn.
We'll continue our special birthday program for Frank Sinatra in just 1 minute. Stay on the Monitor Beacon. Every woman alive wants Chanel, number 5. Barry Nelson here, and Monitor continues its birthday salute to Frank Sinatra, part 4. For 2 decades, the name Sinatra was synonymous with the phrase show business, with the emphasis on the first word. But in recent years, the second word has begun to receive attention, and today, Sinatra Enterprises Incorporated is a large, efficiently functioning, diversified organization. Does the credit for its success and smooth operation belong solely to the able executives with whom Frank has surrounded himself? Howard Koch, Executive Vice President, answers.
Frank is in on everyday decisions and on long-range, small-range decisions, all kinds of decisions, and he's very easy to get an answer from. They call him up and say, Frank, I'd like to do this or I'd like to do that, and he says, go or don't go. And there's no procrastination. We're a very fast-moving company. And as I say, he's quick on decisions. And all it takes is a telephone call. And it's wonderful for me as an executive who's working for a man like Frank because I can get a decision quickly and it makes me a better executive.
Frank recently also became a vice president at Warner Brothers, and he told us when and how his interest in business matters began.
When I was in my late 20s and early 30s, I suddenly began to realize that I must have some knowledge of the business. Otherwise, as I grew, if I were going to grow at all, I wouldn't know what everything was about except for my own job in the organization. So I proceeded to engage the best manpower I could find some 10 years ago, or 12 years ago, and I was very lucky in that extent. I found some great people around to surround me, and I became fascinated by their job concerning me and keeping me healthy business-wise. And matter of fact, I even once considered taking in the correspondence course in law so that I could talk, make a little more sense with my attorneys. And I say that half jokingly, but it was a thought, and I find law is quite interesting. And I have learned a great deal by listening to their discussions, and I've learned to read contracts properly and even if it's a mortgage or something. I've had them show me things about it. And then, of course, in the financial end of it, I've had some great help with the tax advisors, and I've learned a good deal about that. I've been a pretty good mathematician since I was a kid, so that it didn't take me long to learn the phases of percentages and break-even points and so on and so forth. But to sum up the answer in itself, I've learned about the business world because I wanted to, and I thought it was essential for me to do that.
Despite his interest and ability in the business end of the entertainment field, Frank still remains, to a great extent, the performer. And one of his greatest performances, also his bestseller, Young at Heart.
Fairy tales can come true. It can happen to you if you're young at heart. For it's hard, you will find, to be narrow of mind if you're young at heart. You can go to extremes with impossible schemes. You can laugh when your dreams fall apart at the seams. And life gets more exciting with each passing day. And love is either in your heart or on its way. Don't you know that it's worth every treasure on earth to be young at heart? For as rich as you are, it's much better by far to be young at heart. And if you should survive to 105, look at all you'll derive out of being alive. And here is the best part, you have a head start if you are among the very young at heart.
As we mentioned earlier in this hour, Frank Sinatra has been the center of controversy and the target of much publicity during his career, almost unavoidable for someone who ranks so high in the world of entertainment. And one area of his private life on which the press focused a great deal of attention was his circle of close friends, whom they dubbed the Klan, among other nicknames, and to whom they attributed some rather special, sometimes unflattering qualities. Well, how do the members of this group feel about their association with each other? Listen to Sammy Davis, Jr.
What I see is a group of guys who have a mutual interest, being, first of all, friendship. What most people have forgotten is the fact that Dean has known Frank for a great number of years. I've known Frank for some 20-odd years. And there, I must say that if you wanted to call it the Mutual Admiration Society, to a point you could, because I know that the feeling of the guys going to another guy's opening or lauding their friend is true, and it's lacking in this town in the large sense of the word. There is no envy between Frank, Dean, Crosby, myself. It's only the contribution of guys getting together and having fun. But as a group, do we meet every Wednesday? Do we have cards and handshakes? No, we don't. But like the average guy that lives in Altoona, Pennsylvania, or Cleveland, Ohio, who meets with his friends once a week to play poker, we might do it if we're in town. But most of the times we're not, because all of us have our own individual careers. So our meeting comes when that once every 2 years or so that we can do a club together or a movie.
And Dean Martin had this to say about Frank.
He's my dearest and best friend. And he's about the warmest guy I know. You know, that exterior everybody sees is a lot of baloney. He's a very warm, warm man. And he knows what he's doing all the time. May not be right all the time, but he sure knows what he's doing all the time.
We've heard how his close friends feel about Frank Sinatra, and now we hear from his son, Frank Jr. In a special interview recorded prior to the kidnapping last week, young Frank had this to say about his relations with his father.
He was strict with me, and yet he was always very open-minded with any problems that came up. The real great experience of being the son of this man, as far as I'm concerned, didn't actually come until later years. And that was that he's never been too busy that he couldn't talk to me about what he felt about certain movies, about politics, about religion, about the music industry, about recording and, you know, that type of thing.
Young Frank was asked if that early close relationship had continued.
Well, as close as is possible in a situation where the family has been separated and he is away so much of the time, what with his career, you know. He always knows where I am. I always know where he is. And if there is ever a situation in which one of us needs the other party, that's always, there's only a telephone's distance, you know, so it's really been, I'd say, more close than some other people in such a situation, you know, who have someone who works on the road as an entertainer like that.
As events were to prove, Frank Jr.'s remarks were completely accurate. When he needed his father was there. Finally, the question, how long will Frank Sinatra be around?
As a performer? Well, I don't know. That's hard to say. That depends upon the public, number one. And number two, with this new position I have here at Warner Brothers as one of the executives and a member of the board, I find that, I feel it'll be several years, not too long. I would rather now get into the executive end of it and help mold and develop talent and pass on whatever knowledge, whatever little knowledge I have about singing or acting or business-wise to other young performers, of whom we have plenty, but they just need a little help.
Well, we've covered to some extent Frank Sinatra's past and present. As to what lies ahead, we'll just have to wait and see. In his immediate future, and all of ours, we hope, lies a happy holiday season.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. Next year, all our troubles will be out of sight. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Make the Yuletide gay. Next year, all our troubles will be miles away. Once again, in olden days, happy golden days of yore. Faithful friends who are dear to us will be near to us once more. Someday soon, if the fates allow. Until then, we'll have to muddle through somehow. So have yourself a merry little Christmas now.
From Frank Sinatra, wished for a Merry Christmas. And to him, from Monitor 63, some of the same, in addition to our birthday greetings. Next up, NBC Monitor News on the Hour. This is Barry Nelson.
You're traveling with Monitor throughout the weekend on the NBC Radio Network. Thank you.